So the Alberta Civil Liberties Center, a Canadian research institute, has an entire journal on how reverse racism is a myth, and through this entire piece talks about how white people cannot face racism because of their ties to systemic and institutional power. Therefore, any sort of rude stereotypes or targeted actions towards white communities are therefore a result of prejudice and not racism, since white people cannot face racism because of their ties to systemic and institutional power, as per the Alberta Civil Liberties Center. And you'd be surprised, or may not be surprised, depending on your vantage point, as to how many such organizations in media and academia echo such a sentiment, and where they essentially define racism as prejudice plus power, the absence of the latter making it just prejudice and discrimination. Now, all of this is fine, and I too, you know, buy the idea that racism needs to have a systemic and institutional element to it, but where I disagree with their conclusion and other such conclusions is that because racism is prejudice plus power, white people cannot face racism, making it reverse racism. And I'm Anish, guys, with a whole lot of gray on this episode to tell you how saying reverse racism isn't real and white people cannot face racism, merely prejudice, actually contributes to this problem of Eurocentricism, as it assumes a European worldview where white communities and white people are in power throughout the world and fails to consider non-European countries where institutions and systems are not controlled by white people, but they still may have white populations and white communities living in these countries where institutions and systems are not controlled by them. Assuming that the world is entirely run by institutions and systems controlled by white people generally implies that your worldview is limited to Europe and North America, which is the definition of Eurocentricism. And here on A Whole Lot of Grey, we are going to break and dispel this notion. So we'll start with some Middle Age and Renaissance period history, where around 1 million white men and white women were slaves from, you know, 16th through the 19th century in Northern Africa under the Berberi states of present day, which is Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, etc. And if people were unaware, the Berberi states were essentially North African kingdoms that were kind of ancillary, supplementary kingdoms of the Ottoman Empire at the time, owing to, you know, their shared affinity with Islam and what have you. So history also suggests that a lot of the white men and women that were specifically, you know, bought in the slave trade were specifically sought after owing to their complexion and skin tone, as they would make for more exotic slaves and concubines, directly showing that race was a factor in their capture and enslavement. And again, as always, I will be linking a lot of the source material in the descriptions on the platforms below. This one, if you're curious, is a journal called White Slaves, African Masters, an Anthology of American Berberi Captivity Narratives by Dr. Paul Bapler. They essentially, that's where all this data is from. Now, critics would argue that, hey, in present day 2024, these are not real concerns. This Berberi slave trade, wherein they were capturing Americans and Europeans and, you know, kind of exoticizing them and fetishizing them based on their skin tone, was, you know, a practice in the past. And around the same time, European conquest was anyway so much more dire towards, you know, people of color. So this kind of cancels out, and this isn't a reality in present day 2024, because there's no power structure today which places white people at the bottom, ergo rendering reverse racism futile. However, where we disagree with this is, let's look at the present day land grabbing phenomena, which have taken place multiple times this century in countries like Zimbabwe, the Republic of South Africa, and Senegal. Now, obviously, for context, of course, all three countries, like large parts of Asia and Africa before them, have been victims of European colonial conquest, where European colonial regimes grabbed land from these places along with resources, cash, and, you know, desecrating institutions as well, thereby forcibly displacing countless indigenous communities from these continents. So obviously we acknowledge that. That said, today, as the UCLA International Institute highlights in their journal on this very topic, there exists a lack of political power, proper legislative authority, state capacity, and institutional policy regarding reparations in Africa from, you know, European colonial conquest, or land redistribution in the present day from the times of European colonial conquest. And in the case of South African apartheid, has kind of led to, you know, this modern form, or rather post-South African apartheid today, has led to this modern form of retributive vigilante-style land grabbing by black individuals and communities, or individuals and communities of color, on present-day white landowners. So, again, we all know European colonialism is horrific. We can debate whether the sins of European colonialism must be borne by all of its beneficiaries, but it is still vital and imperative to acknowledge that having your property seized because of your skin tone by vigilantes, like decades after the initial crime was committed, who, again, they're not using the legal system or land rights or paperwork and documentation, but instead to justify their own skin tone and the skin tone of the landowners to justify this land theft. This is textbook racism. And people who believe that white people cannot face racism now because there's no structural and majoritarian support, right? Let's say, okay, you know what, Anish? These examples show that there are cases in present day 2024 where white people are on the receiving end of vigilantism and retributive style justice outside the ambit of the law, but you still need majoritarian power support in order for it to be racism. So let's consider these present-day stats. Today, in present-day 2024, there are 15 million black people in Zimbabwe. There's roughly 40 million black people in South Africa. And there's around 200,000 white people in Zimbabwe and around 5 million white people in South Africa. So clearly, these are present-day racial minorities in these countries facing the backlash of, and I will say, of course, a justifiably angry majority population. But if the justifiably angry majority population uses present-day systems and institutions, or the lack thereof, should I say, to kind of get back at present-day racial minorities and displace their communities and steal their land and resources and, you know, harm them in any capacity, that's the definition of racism as well. So, because now it's power plus prejudice, right? It's not just like, let's say, perpetuating a stereotype like, oh, white people can't dance hip-hop or white people can't eat spicy food, right? Those are, I agree, just prejudice statements, because racism needs the power angle. And I think I've shown you that today there are cases, even though obviously it isn't the majority, nor am I saying, oh, okay, it's the world's biggest problem we're all grappling with today, but this idea that white people cannot face structural racism actually does contribute to Eurocentrism simply because it pedestalizes descendants of European communities, and it fails to consider all sovereign nations outside North America and Europe, where white people do not control all the institutions and systems, and where white communities can face discrimination from black and brown communities. Again, just this belief that, oh, the world is Europe and North America is one of the many things we're trying to dismantle here at A Whole Lot of Grey. We're trying to democratize knowledge and ensure that every single listener is as informed as possible before making a statement like, oh, reverse racism cannot exist, or racism towards white people isn't real. You can say it's obviously in the minority and it's maybe not as big of a problem as the other way around, but to blindly assume that this can never be the case, like I said, over and above being factually untrue, actually contributes to this Eurocentric problem, because it assumes that white people can never be powerless, when a simple look outside South Africa and Africa will show you that they no longer control these institutions. The decolonial movement has happened. Therefore, it's possible for them to be victims of systems and institutions. Therefore, it's possible for white people to be victims of racism. And to assume otherwise pedestalizes them, contributes to Eurocentricism, and actually sets us two steps back in this fight against racism and this fight against and fight for democratized knowledge. If you guys enjoyed this piece of content, please share, like, subscribe, interact with the episode, and stay tuned for the long form on YouTube. As always, guys, I'm your host, Anish Anandram, and be sure to check out all latest content on all relevant topics, again, for the thinking adult here on A Whole Lot of Grey.